when my good ass Logitech MX Master mouse just decided to die. Good thing I have my backup Logitech MX Anywhere mouse ready to go just in case of emergencies.
Redundant backup.
Oh, hell yeah. It's, 3 is 2, 2 is 1, 1 is none.
Right. If my mouse dies, I have a touchscreen, so.
Oh, that's so handy. I'm working at a desktop, so I do not have that, sadly. Oh, wait.
I am also working at a desktop, but my all-in-one is a touchscreen, so.
Oh, dang. Oh, it's got to be a... It's got to be a fingerprint magnet, though, isn't it? Like, what do they use for, like, oleophobic?
Yeah, it is kind of oily right now.
Yeah, we got... I was really sad to find out, like, in the new generation of the iPad Pro, which I think looks sexy as hell, because they finally went back to that, like, squared side design that they had back in, like, the iPhone 4 generation to the 5S generation.
Yeah.
Like, I still think those are the sexiest iPhones ever built. But they have the same problem that they had on the old iPad Pro that I have, which is the oleophobic coating. Doesn't work super well because they also had to make the screen able to be used with the Apple Pencil. So whatever material they used to allow it to use that, essentially that, whatchamacallit, specialized stylus, does not play well with the oleophobic coating. Big sads.
Real sad. If you can hear it, my dog is barking in the background.
I hear it a little bit. I hear a little
dog. It's great.
Little doggo. Something you might hear in the background is the sound of video game gunfire and perhaps an exasperated sigh from my dad, who is in the other room playing Fallout 76, which is just terrible.
An exasperated sigh. Yeah. It's, no, I've heard that.
It's real bad. I've probably put about 30 hours into it myself. And holy shit, dude. It's embarrassing.
Like, yeah.
By Bethesda standards, it's embarrassing.
It's weird too, because they should know how to do this, right?
I mean, they did they've had an MMO online
for what, 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, and
they should.
That game has NPCs, and that's like my main problem with this game is there are no NPCs. It is an empty fucking world. And people are like, oh, there's lore, there's a story, you just have to listen to all the holotapes and read all the terminal entries. And I'm like, okay, cool, like, maybe if this was another Fallout game that had NPCs, that would be a cool addition, because I was one of those people who liked going around and, like, finding holotapes and getting deeper into the lore, but that's lore, that's not a story.
Right.
You can't use the terminals and the holotapes as your main story delivery device, that's just fucking lazy writing.
There was a Polygon article earlier this week that was like how to trudge through Fallout 76 to get the essential lore. And then somebody wrote, what stage of capitalism is this? I have to buy something I don't want, actively hate myself for 30, 40 hours to get lore that I want.
And it's so fucking buggy. Like, they released the beta, which, of course, they did it in the Fallout style, the BETA, the Break It Early... Turbo Edition or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. That's the wrong form of edition, but whatever. But yeah, so they released the beta as a like a pre-order bonus, essentially. So it's not really a beta, it's a demo. It's demoing a product that they weren't going to be able to fix. And the beta released and the final release was an alpha at best. It fucking sucks, dude. Like, I love Fallout, but this is just fucking embarrassing.
Isn't that a, are they selling that for full price too?
Yeah, it's $59.99.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Everywhere from $60 to like almost, what is it, $200 for the collector's edition, if you want to just remind your grandchildren about how you were a dumbass and spent $100 on this failed fucking project.
Right. That's great.
Heavy sighs.
Heavy sighs. I don't know if you want to do challenges first or you want to like go down into bullshitting, but
I mean, let's go ahead and do challenges. What you get on your political compass? Because I know. Oh yeah, wait, digga challenge. Part one.
Did you do it?
I did it.
Yay!
I even have it in the show notes with a screenshot of my results all the way down in the bottom left corner.
I also have a screenshot, but I didn't put it in the show notes yet.
Ah, sad reacts only. But yeah, it looks like I have... so for the listeners at home, there's this thing you might have seen on your more politically inclined friends' Facebook page back in, like, I don't know, when were we first introduced to this, like 2011, 2010?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I was high school. It was this cool thing that our friends in a politics and government club in high school were doing, and I took it, and I was about where I thought I would be for the sad Republican I was in high school. I'm correlating the fact that I never had a girlfriend in high school to the fact that I was a fucking just Republican goblin.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. It's weird how that works out. And now that I'm an actual human being, like it's ridiculously easy to meet decent human beings who just want to meet another decent human being. But anyway, I'm running on a tangent here. What were your scores for your political compass?
Okay, so just to set the scene, we have left is all the way left, right is all the way right, libertarian is all the way down, and authoritarian is all the way up. So I am in the what you would call the third quadrant,
mm-hmm.
libertarian left quadrant,
mm-hmm.
And basically around. I was trying to figure out where the icon graph is that has all everybody, but like around where Gandhi and Bernie Sanders are is where I'm at.
I am further left than Bernie Sanders and also further down than Bernie Sanders. I am. If you were to imagine this, so my apparent score is economic left to right, -7.13.
Okay.
Towards the left, and my social libertarian or authoritarianism is -7.95. So I am down deep in the guts.
You're down there. You're down leftism. There. You are down there. Which is weird because I've been a liberal cuck longer than you have, but
it's true. I'm just more radical.
Yeah. Yeah. Just burn it all.
Hang ten, throwing out the hang ten, the Pohana sign while I'm just Molotoving Republicans, you know.
Right.
It's a great life to live, man. Let's see here. I think there is a thing that you can do. Let me see if I can pull this up because I recently had a thingy open.
I'll stall with this. So I was at Thanksgiving dinner at my uncle's house,
mm-hmm.
So we got into a really good conversation about politics that basically lasted like an hour, and talking about. So we were talking to his girlfriend, who is an attorney from New Jersey, I think. And she's been on political campaigns before and has done some work there. So she wanted to know what the like liberal young people's like opinions were, mm-hmm. about who should run and where we are and stuff like that. So me and my cousin, Nick, were talking to her about that. But like the big question of the night was who should run in 2020,
mm-hmm.
and why. And we fucking kept on going back to Beto O'Rourke, which...
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, yeah, but also like, I don't know. And the thing is like, I also had that conversation with my cousins, like the Democrats are going to just always be in a place where like they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're afraid to take a risk. So, yeah, they're less ballsy than the Republicans are.
Oh, word. Okay. I got you.
So, I just don't know about his, like, oh yeah, he doesn't have experience, but he has those good looks, and he's really charismatic
and energetic, and he's motivated. Like him. Yeah.
And, yeah. So I mean, and like I pointed it out to my dad. We were having a conversation. Like, people didn't know who Barack Obama was, and then like, you know, a year and a half before the election, he just rose up on the scene. So it's not impossible, but yeah.
Word.
And we were talking, yeah, and then we were talking about how like John Kasich uses the John McCain approach of media coverage to make himself seem more liberal than he actually is. Yeah, great stuff.
Good times. So yeah. So there are two things I'm going to share. The first is, let me close this tab real quick. The first is I found like the dots with all the leaders, and
there you go. Cool.
Just personally, I am like a smidgen over to the right and about one grid point to the north towards authoritarianism, away from Noam Chomsky.
Okay.
And, the quadrant I'm in, because they break it down, they break the quadrants down into, and I'll, let's see here, oh, you know what I can do, I can screenshot this shit. This is also super good radio, but there, anyway, so essentially what they do is they break down the grid structure, and I'm gonna drop this in the Skype so you can see it, because it's super well done. And obviously, there's a big square in the middle that's centrist, not applicable. In the lower, in the third quadrant, you have to the left and the upper right portion of the bottom left quadrant is anarcho-communism. Beneath that is where I am with anarchism. Then naturists, a little bit towards the right. And then right in the middle, at the very bottom of the lower two quadrants is Neolithic tribalism. So I'm an anarchist.
You're right on the corner of the anarchy, right?
Oh, like, yeah. Right on the corner.
Yeah, the corner of anarchy. Yeah, yeah. Just reach me out here on the corner of anarchy and traditional democracy.
You're
almost there at naturist too, right?
I am.
Which
when,
is weird.
When, what? I don't even know what a naturist is.
Look that up.
I'm about to.
Let's get learned.
Okay, it's naturist.com. This isn't what I want. Naturist. Oh, God, there's naked people. Okay,
that's
naturism.
What it's all about.
Or nudism is a cultural political movement practicing, advocating, and defending not wearing clothes.
I don't think that. I think you're looking for the political side of that. But
naturist politics. No, it's the same thing.
Weird.
Oh, wait, no, what's...
Anarcho-naturism. The union of anarchy and naturist philosophy.
So, naked anarchists.
Basically. A radical way of life.
It's very radical.
Shock the conservative residents of the area with their shameless nudity.
There's shameless nudity just out here in, you know... I don't know, I don't like that. I don't want to be a naturist. I don't want to be... the doodler. I don't want to be out in the school zone just cranking my hog saying eat the rich.
Influenced by Henry David Thoreau, Leo Tolstoy, and Eli Urkus. Civil disobedience.
Man. Okay, I'm down with some civil disobedience.
Yes. So okay. Yeah, that's what that is.
I have so many tabs.
No, yeah. I'm middle-ish left. Let's see where my coordinates are. Basically -5 and -7.
All right, I'm good.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 2, 3, 4. So yeah, I'm close to naturist, man.
Yeah, you're close to being nude.
Yeah,
you're naked democracy.
I'm naked democracy right here. The interesting thing about this test. When I was in high school, I mean, I already knew it now, was that the right is not actually the right, as in the right worldwide is not the same right wing that we have.
Yeah.
Like if you look on the site, Hillary Clinton is not going to be in the traditional democracy.
No, she's near federal republic, isn't she?
Yeah, and then some Republicans that you would think would be right of her are actually on the left of her.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's all perspective.
It's all perspective.
Which is what this test teaches.
Time is a flat circle.
Exactly.
So what did we want to learn from this compass? Because if I remember correctly, like there was some turns out about this test, like how
turns out
it's a lot of bullshit mostly, and it's really hard to determine like your actual political stances based on the questions that they ask. And the
right.
questions ask and or sorry, the questions change all the time. Like
right, the questions change all the time. They're kind of leading questions. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, and there are very few questions. I think there's only like 23 questions or something like that.
Yeah.
I remember in high school we found one that was like 100 questions, but I don't know where that is.
Probably has it.
Yeah, probably somewhere. But yeah, I think the big takeaway was just like we are more centered than in our two-party system than we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't agree with being centered.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Most people I know don't agree with being centered, but most American people probably do.
Mm-hmm. It's like that line from, and then their like listeners, the whole 8 subscribers we have out there groaning. Oh God, he's about to cite that one movie with Will Smith, and I'm gonna say, yes, I am, because a person is smart. People fucking suck. Paraphrased from Independence
That's
Day.
That's true.
TM, 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 TM.
People do suck. People do suck.
I'm like, hey. I'm 90% sure that Independence Day isn't the movie with Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, but that's okay.
No. You mean Men in Black?
A Bug's Life?
Men in Black.
I think you're talking about Ants.
A Bug's Men in Black? Ants. So that's you want to talk about how vanilla extract is actually the same proof as Captain Morgan.
I mean, and, sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I came by this Bon Appetit article like a while ago. I mean, it was written a while ago, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
But it keeps on coming up, and I think it's just really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So dig dug. So they talk about how Captain Morgan basically is the same proof as vanilla extract, and that there are these people. There are it's not very rare for people to actually drink vanilla extract to try to get drunk. Yeah. Poison centers and emergency rooms around the country regularly report patients who have been hospitalized because they down mouthwash, cough syrup, or alcohol-based flavoring in their attempt to get loaded. In 2004, doctors in Seattle reported a notable case of intoxication in a 16-year-old boy who'd gotten drunk after his friends dared him to down a 12-ounce bottle of vanilla extract.
Mm-hmm.
So they go into the history of why vanilla extract is sold as a foodstuff and not as an alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
They say vanilla extract doesn't just rely on alcohol to extract the essential flavors of the vanilla bean and suspend them in stable solution. It's also required by law to have an alcohol content of at least 35%, which is the only flavoring deemed important enough by the federal government to have official defined standards for.
Huh.
And this all comes from Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
Where under Prohibition, obviously, you couldn't sell alcohol for consumption purposes.
Mm-hmm.
FEMA, this is funny. Flavor and Extracts Manufacturers Association, FEMA. John Hallahag, FEMA senior advisor, says the joke during Prohibition was that you could never lose your cough and you needed your cough syrup. So there's a lot of ways to get around out around the law. So when they made when the 18th Amendment was made law of the land, the lobbyist for FEMA basically asked for an exemption for flavor extracts, saying that economics of food would suffer because of it. And so they succeeded and they got an exemption. And so that law passed, the exemption passed, and then prohibition was repealed. But we still use that law today to govern, or it kind of was an extension. An extension of that law is used to govern our flavorings.
Oh, hell yeah. I could imagine so, because they'd be paying out the ass in taxes if it was taxed like alcohol, wouldn't they?
So that, yeah, so that gets to the, turns out that alcohol used in liquor is taxed at $13.50 per gallon by the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau. But so while Diageo pays the U.S. government that $13.50 per gallon for Captain Morgan rum that it makes with alcohol content of 40%, Nielsen Massey effectively pays a much more attractive $1 for every gallon of vanilla extract it makes with the same percentage of alcohol. So, yeah. Huh. So flavoring lobby. The
hell yeah.
Before Prohibition did the legwork to make flavorings cheaper.
Hell yeah. I dig that because actually I just pulled out of my desk drawer. I'm going to do little sound effects here.
Boom.
This is a bottle of Jameson triple distilled whiskey. I'm going to take a swig. It's vanilla extract.
Really good shit, dude. Yeah. Ooh,
that was the swig.
I just found that article like pretty interesting of why we would. I mean, I am thankful that vanilla extract isn't fucking $15 a bottle every time I buy it.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's, if the listeners out there have ever done a serious baking, woof, I'm warm because of this Jameson. Anyway, if the listeners out there have ever done any baking, they know that a lot of baking recipes call for vanilla extract. It's something that helps your baked goods taste good.
Yep.
But I don't know if any listeners out there have been like myself at some point and been a child and think, oh, I like vanilla. I want to see what vanilla extract tastes like. Take a big old sip and then vomit on the carpet because it tastes bad.
There's a whole thing that I didn't mention there.
The potability?
Potability, yes. Have you read this article?
I haven't.
So the let me figure out where the actual phrasing is. Oh my god.
This did used to be kind of my area of expertise when I worked in public health.
I can't find it.
That's okay. I can vamp for you. So essentially, along with working in public health and doing food inspections and that sort of thing, we used to do this thing called organoleptic testing, which is we'd break out the MREs every year to see whether or not they were still good. We'd base them, or we judge them based on quality, texture, taste, palatability, potability, all those different things. And essentially, if something's not potable, it's not, it isn't able to be eaten like a normal foodstuff or consumed like a normal drink. It is literally just, it tastes terrible. That's why stuff like mouthwash, which was, I believe, cited in the article, and a lot of people also use hand sanitizer, that sort of thing, to try and get, a lot of alcoholics will do this if they get rid of all the alcohol in their house, or if they don't have access to alcohol, they will try and find it in other ways, which, fun fact, is why at back when I was in the at Dover Behavioral Health for my good fun mental health times, and when I was at Stonington for rehab, all of the hand sanitizer stations had non-alcohol based sterilizing solution, and right. we weren't allowed to have proper toothpaste or mouthwash because there is some alcohol in toothpaste. Fun right. fact.
So I did find it. So in 1920, a year after the 18th Amendment was passed, the Volstead Act went into effect, which included a clause for the exemption of flavor extracts, saying that they were accepted as long as they were deemed non-potable and a reasonable person would not drink them straight.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is a really weird thing for a legal document to have in it. A reasonable person would not drink them straight. But yeah, so to qualify as a flavor extract, it has to still be judged that it would be non-potable and a reasonable person would not drink it.
Mm-hmm.
So the unenviable job of testing the vanilla extract to make sure a sane, mature, or a mentally and emotionally healthy person would want to drink them straight also falls to the TTB board, which subjects the extracts to a series of tests to make sure they're not going to end up as the next big thing at high school post-prom parties.
Hell yeah. The US.
And I should mention the author of this, Michael Weipart. Yeah.
We were supposed to name some of our favorite podcasts with the stipulation that they couldn't be repeats from the last one. We talked about our favorite podcasts.
The last one, and that was the first episode.
Like episode one, yeah. Episode one of Every Other Wednesday. That is officially 11 episodes ago. Holy shit, I can't believe we did that. And also, wow, the Jameson is good. But anyway, so Devin did 5. I only did 4. But in true top 4 fashion, which is the first on my list of podcasts, I will have an honorable mention. Oh. And that honorable mention is going to be this season of Serial. If you to cry and feel super bad about the criminal justice system and the juvenile detention system in the United States, and specifically in our home state of Ohio, you should check out Serial Season 3. It is very, very good and very, very sad. But so number 4 on my list of top 4 is Top 4. It is the podcast hosted by Tiff Arment and Marco Arment, who I regularly sing the praises of on this podcast because he is the creator of Overcast, which is my podcast player of choice on the iPhone. And he also made another one of my favorite apps to use. It's called Instapaper. So essentially there is a little on my computer. I have a little button, a widget, if you will, where I can click the little eye icon and it will save the page as a read-only article to Instapaper. And I can review it later at the end of the day when I'm just sitting in my room on my iPad, trying to read about what happened on the day, because a whole lot of things happened and a lot of bullshit and I need to digest it. Mm-hmm. And so Marco developed that. He developed Overcast and a bunch of other stuff. I think he also was one of the like project leads when Tumblr was starting out as a thing.
Nice.
So he's had his feet in the fire of the internet for a good long while. And his wife, Tiff, has been on a number of podcasts. She's an artist. She blesses my Instagram feed with goodness every day of her and her family and their kid. And it's just wholesome content. So Top 4, the podcast itself, is just what it sounds like. Every time they upload an episode, they go over their top 4 whatever. Nice. The most recent episode I listened to was Top 4 Breakfasts. And if you want to become hungry, it's super good. They basically rate their top 4 breakfast foods with some honorable mentions, and that is actually what inspired me when my sister was in town to be like, hey, let's go get brunch, because I could really go for some Eggs Benedict right now because I'm really hungry. And
oh geez, I haven't eaten today, so
oh dude,
well,
oh no,
you have to understand, I work thirds, so I ate today. Technically I ate at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I slept, so now I haven't eaten, so yeah,
big mood.
And then that's I came over and did this, so
that's about to be my life too.
Yeah, I'm about to, I'll probably go out and get something after this.
Nice. But yeah, that is my my first choice for my top four podcast is top four.
Okay. So I'm gonna start with my honorable mentions. Earwolf. You are not familiar with Earwolf.
But yeah, Earwolf, what's Earwolf? Tell me more.
Earwolf is a podcast company, one of the earlier ones, that was started by Scott Aukerman and Colin Anderson. And they're kind of like a big names in like comedy podcasts. And so I will not go into spoilers for my other ones because I have three in my top five, my second top five that are Earwolf podcasts. But one just came out, and you probably know this name. Conan O'Brien came out with a podcast.
He's that the ginger boy who's not funny.
Oh, wow. I used to think the same way, actually. But I've watched more of his stuff, and I don't think his interviews are as funny as his segments are. I think he's a very like early David Letterman kind of dude that just does like weird shit. But that's why I like his comic sensibilities there. But he has a podcast that has only one episode out, so that's why it's in my honorable. It's called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
I'm sure he does. Oh man, I need to stop.
Terrible. And the whole premise is that he's interviewed so many people and he thought that they'd become friends, but they aren't. So he gets them on the podcast and asks them why they're not friends and if they can become friends. It's not as clingy. That's just like the bit. but yeah, his first episode was with Will Ferrell and it was really, really good.
Nice.
So yeah, you should listen to that if you like Conan O'Brien or Will Ferrell. A second one. Yeah, these are just honorable mentions. I'll just go through them fast. Second one is All Systems Goku. It's a premium podcast from Giant Bomb. So they were playing the new Dragon Ball game, and Jeff Grossman and Dan Reichert had no idea what Dragon Ball was, basically. So they, because the new Dragon Ball game is so good, they got curious and started watching Dragon Ball Z Kai. And so they go through each episode. They go through, I think, six episodes, and they talk about what goes on in those episodes and comment on what goes on in those episodes. And I haven't watched all of Dragon Ball Z, so it's a good because I got most of my Dragon Ball Z knowledge from the games. So it's it's a good refresher on some of the really, really weird stuff that goes on in that series. And tangent. I am watching the original Dragon Ball right now, 1984 Dragon Ball. And it is really fucking weird. It's very, very perverted. And
oh, really?
Very, very funny. But yeah, like every episode mentions panties at some point.
Oh, God.
And then now that they have Master Roshi in episodes, he's just always trying to get, like, trying to touch women. Like, not even, like, get women. He's trying to, like, grope women, which is weird. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
And now, I was never one of the
girls and stuff like that. It's weird.
I was never one of the people who was into the Dragon Ball, and I feel like we weirdly established on earlier episodes that I am apparently the resident weeb, so it's weird that I wouldn't have watched any Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball is anime for like the mainstream, though. Like,
okay, word.
I mean,
I know there's a Goku.
Right.
I know there's a Freezer.
Yeah, there is a Freezer. there are a lot of weird names in Dragon Ball.
I tried to pull off the bit, but I couldn't.
Freezer. Goku's actual name is Carrot.
And then there's Small Goku. Small Goku. Baby Child Goku.
There's a small. There's actually two Small Gokus.
Oh my god.
Yeah. There's one that they unlocked after they used the Small Goku, and he became the Big Goku. So.
Oh shit, dog! And then there's the pink Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
That's true.
He's in there too.
Actually, no. He actually has a really worse name than that. So, so this is canonically the first thing that happens in the Dragon Ball universe is that Bibbidi tries to summon this monster that won't be unlocked for thousands of years, and he dies, and so his son Bobbidi takes over the course, and finally summons this monster that's named Boo.
Oh my god. Wow. No.
Terrible. Terrible. Just terrible naming all around. It's great. It's great. I love it. Vegeta is named for vegetables.
Does he look like the big asparagus stalk?
No, he doesn't. Vegeta, he's the funniest guy on there. He's just always mad about something, and he talks like this, and he's not as good as Goku, and so he's sad.
Is he the guy in the rain? There's always the one guy in the rain, that gif.
I don't know. He has weird hair and a big forehead.
So if you look up Vegeta in the rain, it is exactly what I was thinking of.
Good. That's good. And who else? Raditz is named after Radish, so... Yay.
Damn.
Okay, that's enough about Goku, though. Gokus, there's a lot of Gokus in Dragon Ball.
Wave goodbye to Sweet Boy Goku.
Wave goodbye. So, yeah, also since Goku, they've been through a couple. Yeah, they're in the Buu Saga right now, which is like 80 or 90 episodes into Kai. So, yeah, they're deep in now. They've been to an anime convention now. Like... They're in the stuff now.
They're deep in the paint.
And one podcast that I have on here is unlike all the others. This American Life. Just saying, This American Life is still here and it's still good. Sometimes, as long as it is nonfiction, it's good.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, has there been a fictional This American Life?
They do fiction and they do short stories and stuff like that. So, okay. Well, I'll say that, but also I very much enjoy Mr. David Sedaris. So if he's on, I'll listen to him because he does fictional short stories as well as doing nonfiction. So I will listen to him, but mostly the fictional stuff sucks. And he's like, I don't come to This American Life for this. I come to This American Life for people living their lives and doing stuff.
Just like the title would suggest, goddammit.
Exactly. is there one more thing that I should... Yeah, because you have four, I should go through next two? I'm taking up a lot of time. 99% Invisible is my number five, which I mention a lot on this podcast. So it's probably no surprise that I bring that up. I probably mention all of these guys a lot, except maybe number three and number one. But yeah, 99% Invisible, Roman Mars... I got into Roman Mars by actually funny thing. It's a meme now, but watching his TED Talk. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Roman Mars' TED Talk?
On why, I don't make a habit of watching TED Talks.
On why flag design is bad.
Oh, yes, I have.
It's really, really good. He's like, flag design is unimaginative, and it could be so much better.
Absolutely, yeah. There was actually a bit from Hello Internet when Gray and Brady were doing the flag referendum for the Hello Internet podcast flag,
right?
And they linked to that TED Talk in the show notes way back in like late 2015, I'm gonna say.
I think he did that TED Talk before he had the podcast, so Yeah, 2013, 2014.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And yeah, so he talks about how, if you guys don't know what 99% Invisible is, I think you've heard episodes, right, Dylan?
Yes.
But he goes on. So 99% Invisible describes the 99% of things that we do not notice in our daily lives that have been designed by actual people, and they all have a story, and he basically tells that story, and how effective and efficient they are, they talk about, and you know how they evolve over time, they talk about, and what it means for society as a whole. And yeah, it's really cool. Like, mm-hmm. you're like, hey, I don't care about this architectural design from the 1930s. And then like 40 minutes in, you're like, holy shit, I care about this architectural design from the 1930s. Why? It's great. Yeah. And then, I guess I should do my number four, 'cause you have four, right? So
yeah,
I'm taking up a lot of time, but, my number four is, the Dollop. The Dollop podcast is, is Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds. And I think I've mentioned it. I probably mentioned it. I think I mentioned my honorable mentions the first time.
You did. Damn it. So you're very close to breaking the rules.
Very close to peanut butter. But, I mean, you can replace any of those honorable mentions and whatever. yeah, so they do a bi-weekly podcast where every week they... come out and have Dave Anthony explain a topic of history to his friend, his comic friend, Gareth Reynolds. And it's really, really funny because they do bits and stuff like based on the thing. So you can learn, you can laugh. Yeah. And they are all big, big anarchy liberal cucks like us, so
hell yeah.
All right, so you got
I got my next podcast on deck. Well, actually on deck is Roderick on the line, but up at bat is The Uterus and the Deuterus.
There you go.
So The Uterus and the Deuterus is a podcast by Nick Bartonek and Paige Gibbons. They're just two friends who decided to make this podcast. They love wizards and clowns. Paige has this chronic illness called endometriosis, which is essentially where Satan lives in her uterus. And Nick wanted to help give her a platform to talk about this. And that's essentially what the podcast is. It's all about endometriosis, and it's super
weird.
Dead.
Okay.
Yeah. It was actually recommended to me by a friend of mine at work. And so I checked it out, and I immediately liked it because one of the main drawing factors for me for Dubai Friday was Alex and Merlin especially talking about like mental illness and that sort of thing.
Right.
That's something that also drew me to Merlin and more of his work. And also to my next pick, which is Roderick on the line, which is as someone who suffers from depression, I like hearing people make jokes and like kind of tell stories about how their mental illness affects them, but it doesn't define them.
Right. You disable the scary parts of it by making fun of it, and you know, having fun and being there with people that are going through the same thing, and kind of like, you know, hey, I got your back, kind of thing. You know.
Hell yeah, absolutely. And so that's kind of what this is. It's like explaining what endometriosis is, which I had heard the word, but I never really knew what it was before I listened to this podcast.
Right.
And it fucking sucks, my dude.
Yep.
So essentially, for listeners at home who don't know what endometriosis, or as they call it in the sorority of endometriosis, endo, It's essentially where the tissue that lines your uterus grows outside of your uterus, and it causes severe buildup of scar tissue and that sort of thing, and it's incredibly painful. And the only way that you can really detect it is through surgery. You can't find it on a PET scan, a CT, an ultrasound, anything like that. And so for a long time, people, women were going to doctors, a lot of young women specifically, and they were like, I have this like terrible pain, and like I'm downing half a bottle of Advil and I'm still in incredible pain. I don't know what's going on. And doctors would tell them, oh, you're just being dramatic. And so meanwhile, their like insides are actually like killing them, and they couldn't even get doctors to like pay attention and be like, hey, yeah, this is something y'all should look into more. The only way to treat it, like I said, is surgical removal of the tissue. And even then, it grows back after a period of time. So it is a lifelong chronic condition. But it's good to know there are people out there who can like still...
And really terrible complications.
Oh, absolutely.
Infertility and ovarian cancer. So
yeah.
And ovarian cysts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah,
that's not fun at all.
But so the reason Paige wanted to do this was she wanted to, as she put it, lol it up. She wanted to take some of her awful experiences and kind of make light of the situation as best she could to kind of help out other people who are also suffering from endo and kind of bring some education to people who either will never experience it or have no idea what it is, which I fell into both of those categories.
You got the uteruses, so yes.
But yeah, so it's super good. 10 out of 10 would recommend. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, probably Google Play, or Overcast, if I'm going to keep plugging that.
Keep plugging Overcast until they give you their Overcast dollars.
Yes, Marco, please.
this next one for me is ranked as one of the weirdest podcasts that I listen to. Probably the weirdest podcast that I listen to. And like not a lot of I sound really hipster right now. Not a lot of people have heard about it. But
so underground.
Right, so underground. It's another Earwolf podcast, by the way. And its official title is, I want to get this in one take, Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red line carpet, back hallways of this industry we call showbiz. It's a comedy podcast in which, the comedy group, The Boys, Hayes Davenport and Sean Clements, have a guest. And it's a podcast where they basically share stories on how to get into the industry, but like they're not experts, but they play it off like experts on how to get into Hollywood. So yeah, it's real good. It's just really, really weird. They always mention just like random people. Like it's like the other day I was playing ping pong with Diane Sawyer and Charlie and Hasan Minhaj, and it's great. It's really fun. I got into it because a lot of comedians kind of hop around these Earwolf podcasts. So if somebody is on comedy, they might be on Hollywood Handbook, they might be on Who Charted, they might be on Raised by TV, they might be on Off Book, they might be on... So they're basically just like spend a day at the studio and like hop between podcasts. So like I see somebody's name that I recognize and I download the podcast and I listen to it and I figure out from there if I like it.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, Hollywood Handbook, very weird. And I think I actually do have shirt that says that full title somewhere in my closet.
Nice.
Yes, I remember I do. But yeah, they've had people on like Donald Glover, Ellie Kemper, Aubrey Plaza, Camille Nanjiani, Nick Kroll, Patton Oswalt. So, yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Good comedians.
Yeah, I don't listen to serious stuff like you. I listen to just like bullshit.
Very nice. Well, speaking of bullshit, so my next pick is Roderick on the Line. Initially, I was going to do Chapo Trap House, but I like Roderick on the Line a whole lot more. Because, like I mentioned while I was discussing The Uterus and The Deuterus, I enjoy people talking candidly about themselves, their lives, and their struggles.
Because right.
I've been in a position where for about to be a 24-year-old kid, I've gotten myself into a fair amount of shit. And
right.
I like to hear stories of other people who've gotten into the shit. So,
right.
Roderick on the Line, the very simple description is Merla Mann's frank and candid weekly phone call with John Roderick of The Long Winters. So, first of all, we would like to thank John Roderick and Long Winters for their theme song, It's a Departure, off the album,
Putting the Days to Bed.
But, so, the description kind of fits it perfectly. It's literally just two longtime friends, Merla Mann and John Roderick. They have a Skype call every week and catch up on life. And
nice.
It's... just, it's super good. It's very vulnerable. It's very real. John Roderick talks a lot about, every now and then, about some of his adventures from when he was a young rock kid.
Right.
Who, I think last episode or the episode before, I think he was talking about like some club that... it started in high school, and then there was a collegiate version of it in Alaska, where he's from.
Okay.
And it was all the really affluent, well-to-do, like, these people have their lives planned out sort of club. And a lot of his friends were in this club, and they invited him over because he finished essentially going on a just a walkabout throughout the... 48 contiguous states. And so he shows up at this party, and he's got like the bedraggled long rock and roll hair, and he's wearing the like 87 Levi's denim jacket, and he looks like trouble. And the parents are freaking out because they don't want him there, and everyone comes up to him and starts talking about his just his journeys and shit. And there was one kid he noticed who was kind of like, he described him having that punk rock sarcasm about him that was kind of not common in the town
right.
he grew up in. And he'd been mentioning about how everyone that he was around kind of, they were doing the college thing for the piece of paper. They were checking a box on a list. And so this kid got blasted, and they were getting him into a car so he could get home safe. And John was one of the people who kind of got roped into helping him out because he also seemed like one of the undesirables at the party.
Right.
And this punk rock kid looks at John and says, "Have fun on your trip, man. I hope you have a lot of cool scars." And then shut the door. And John says, that just, I don't know why, but that sentence just gutted me. And it took me forever to, like, kind of realize the fact that I was equating what he was saying to what I was thinking that everyone else was doing. Just, you know, checking a box on a list. It's like,
right.
I hope you get a lot of cool scars. Like, oh, I hope you, you're happy when you have this thing marked off your list and you don't have to worry about it anymore. But anyway, that's
right.
like just one random story. He talks about sleeping in the elevator of a parking garage when he was backpacking because he couldn't find a like place to sleep and he was so tired. And just way back when elevators had limited safety mechanisms and shit, he walked into an elevator. It was warm. It was cold outside in this parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to the top floor, and like halfway up, he's like, And he flipped the elevator off, and it stopped between floors, and he just like laid down on the floor and passed the fuck out. And but he's kind of got this really, at least personally, appealing kind of like wanderer vibe. And he didn't know why he was compelled to do that sort of shit, or compelled back in, I think it was like 2007, 2008, to run for mayor of the city he was living in. That's awesome. And he lost. But he eventually found out what was like sort of driving all these episodes where he just had to do something was he was manic depressive. He had bipolar disorder.
Is he manic? And
yeah. And so he and Merlin talk a lot about mental illness. They talk about their experiences. They talk about their kids. They talk about life. And I don't know. I like it a lot, and I'm able to relate to it a lot. So yeah, that's my number 3 out of 4 is good old Roderick on the Line.
Yeah, they talk about Roderick a lot on Dubai Friday.
Oh yeah,
how cool he is! And
hell yeah.
I haven't listened to it, but maybe I'll check that out.
Oh yeah.
I have number two is another thing that I mentioned in my honorable mentions on episode one, but Comedy Bang Bang. Okay. I think I don't know if you're a podcast listener, do you know what Comedy Bang Bang is, or does not everybody know what Comedy Bang Bang is?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I haven't heard it discussed in like the circles I frequent as far as podcasting goes.
So Comedy Bang Bang was started in, I think, 2003 by Scott Aukerman as Comedy Death Ray. And Scott Aukerman, producer, he used to hang out with, he still does, hang out with Bob Odenkirk. And David Cross, and you know David Cross. I probably say you know David Cross a couple times in this podcast before, from Arrested Development. DeBias on Arrested Development. Bob Odenkirk is Saul on Breaking Bad, and people like that. Conan O'Brien, guys that like. wrote for The Simpsons and wrote for SNL and stuff like that. So he made this like radio show back when people didn't like there wasn't a lot of podcasts around, like 03 or something like that, 03 or 04. So he went from, I think it was local radio to podcasting. And so the whole premise is that he has this talk show where he interviews both a regular, like a real person, either like an actor, a writer, a musician, somebody like that. And then the next segment, he interviews somebody who is not a real person. So some improvised character. And then they go through like a bit. And so, he has... Andy Daly on a lot. He has Ben Schwartz on a lot. There's still a bunch of comedy people that I don't know. Jason Mantzoukas, John Gabris, Patton Oswalt. A lot of these people, Paul F. Tompkins, on a lot. And they have multiple characters that they do. And they go through and they talk about, like, in the situation. And it's like Andy Daly usually has characters that are, like, murderers. Or people that are convicted of murder or of manslaughter, and they're like, and he just like comes in the door, and Scott goes, "What's wrong?" And he goes, "Oh, I have to get out of here. I'm running away from the cops or something like that." And then like there's a whole like bit that happens after that, like, and I was going to single out Andy Daly here because he has been 12 characters in 37 episodes.
Oh wow!
Yeah. He has a lot of stuff behind him, and they also made a TV show that's still on Netflix. I think 5 seasons. He has a character named Don DeMello, which is like his take on like the Broadway producer that's just like really horny and like wants to do like a Rockette show of like everything. And so so like one of his catchphrases is we need to give it a little something for daddy. It's like they're like, Don, I heard you're putting on a show of Annie. Yeah, she's like a half dressed teenage girl. kicking up her legs. It's like, Don, that's not how Annie works. He's like, it's a little something for daddy.
Jesus.
Yeah, hot dog is like the surfer dude that's obsessed with hot dogs. like Gil and Golly. Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff. August Lint, he's like this guy that is a pretzel maker from Dusseldorf that is on vacation all of the time. And like is just like randomly on vacation and like avoids his family but like stays like really, really happy all the time and has like a deep, deep sadness that like get into like at the end of the episodes. But Andy Daly is real good and I like him a lot. And you probably know him from, I think it was Travelocity commercials out there that he's in. I think it's, or maybe it's Carfax.
Does he have the really deep voice?
He doesn't have a really deep voice.
Like square jawed looking dude.
Yeah, he has like,
never mind. I'm not familiar with this guy.
You do not know. Okay.
In the slightest.
Yeah, he's gotten some commercial stuff. He used to be on The League a lot, and he gets a lot.
Never watched it.
He gets a lot of character work.
Okay.
Eastbound and Down. He was on Mad TV for a small time. Yeah, that's Comedy Bang Bang. You should listen to it because it just rounded off 1,000 episodes.
Hell yeah.
So, really, really good show. The Ur show. Talking about the Ur show, there's a New York Times article that came out recently. Did you see this? Where it says, it said, like, before Serial, podcasts were made for nerds by nerds. Do you see
that? Oh, no, I haven't.
It's like, oh yeah, Serial was the first podcast. Yeah, sure. Awesome. And so like great. You have guys like Scott Aukerman and Mark Maron going like, what the fuck? We were here and, you know, we made podcasts cool and then people kind of like grabbed on them. So I digress. What's your last one?
All right, so my last podcast choice is The Dream from Little Everywhere and Stitcher.
I think you mentioned this a few times.
Yeah, I mentioned this a couple of times recently. It's a super new podcast. I think it started, when did it start? September. And it is fantastic. The description is something else. So what if we told you that with zero experience and only a few $100 down, this podcast could change your life? Well, we'd be lying. This season of The Dream, Jane Marie dives into the world of pyramid schemes, multi-level marketing, and all the other businesses that require members to recruit their nearest and dearest in hopes of a commission. Join us as we trace the path of the get-rich schemes from Jane's roots in rural Michigan all the way to the White House. So, as I've like briefly touched on before, I took a particular liking to this podcast series after working for essentially a MLM style business that was like super heavily focused on recruiting.
Right.
And that was essentially how I spent the first few weeks back in Ohio after I'd gotten out of the Air Force, was I was offered this job and it seemed too good to be true, and it was. It was all about trying to hire more people onto your team, and if you get so many people on your team, you get a promotion, and if get enough promotions, you start earning off their commission, but there's never, people never stay in your downline long enough for you to actually make any money. And so this podcast comes along talking all about Limelight, which is, I think, now called Lime Life because they went international. It's that MLM where if you've seen your friends post on Facebook about the special they're doing on lipstick and makeup, and then a few months later you see them doing a Everything Must Go sale, essentially tackling those kind of business models and just kind of revealing the seedy background from everything from Amway to Lime Life to Vemma. I don't know if you remember Vemma in high school. I do remember there were a few girls in Scioto who were like, oh, this is a great thing. And they got permission to like, from Mr. Schaefer in history to put on a little presentation about Vemma. And it was the dumbest shit of all time. But it was essentially an energy drink that was supposed to be super good for you. And like if you sold so many units of Vemma, they'd give you a free car, which was like a smart car that had the Vemma logo on the side of it. And that is one of the MLMs that actually got busted by the FTC, which very rarely happens if you listen to the podcast. But so personally, it was a super good podcast for me to listen to just to kind of get that understanding that, yeah, there are some fucked up companies out here and I'm not the only one who fell for it, even though I'm smarter than the average rock. I'm smarter than the average rock, the Dwayne Johnson.
Yes. Rock the Dwayne Johnson. That's a episode. Rock the Dwayne Johnson. Another podcast for me, another Earwolf recommendation. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I was just hearing silence, so I did not know it. My last one is Raised by TV. Raised by TV is a new Earwolf endeavor by Lauren Lapkus and John Gabris. Mm-hmm. John Gabris grew up in the late 80s, and Lauren Lapkus grew up in the early 90s. And they talk about how TV impacted their life and like what kind of TV shows they like to listen to and stuff, or like to watch and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. When they were growing up. So yeah, a lot of early episodes were like Boy Meets World, Power Rangers.
Oh, hell yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They have like a whole episode on Oprah. I mentioned that old one because they actually had the guy who played Sean on. What's his name? God damn it. Now I'm gonna have to look it up. Yes, the guy who played Sean. Did you watch a lot of Boy Meets World growing up?
I used to, like, if you said the name Topanga, it would mean something to me.
Right.
Or Mr. Feeny.
Right.
I don't know all of the characters' names, sadly. Right. Was Sean the main character?
Sean was the main character's friend. Like, his fuck-up friend.
Got you.
That, like, didn't, you know, he wasn't, like, the best at school, and he was rejected by his parents. That.
Oh, yeah.
Shit, I can't find it. Where is it? No.
This is why preparation is key.
Writer Strong. Writer Strong is his name. So yeah, they talked to Writer Strong on episode 18 of the podcast, and they asked him about what it was like being a child star, and like how different his life ended up and stuff like that. And now he also has a podcast. I think on the same podcast they talked to Macaulay Culkin.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he's been on a couple shows because both of those guys have podcasts themselves too. So, yeah.
Count They're me out forever listening to the Macaulay Culkin podcast.
They're out here. He actually had some pretty interesting tidbits. I don't know. I don't remember which one I heard him on, but he was talking about how Macaulay Culkin was talking about how he'd been in show business ever since he was like 4. And like he was in like Nutcracker, like Broadway Nutcracker, when he was like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
He's one of those who didn't age well.
No, he did not.
He did not have what the kids call the glow up.
He did not.
He had what the kids call the burnout, and now he's doing a podcast.
Right.
And what does that say about us? Right.
Well, I was going to say, Ryder Strong has this podcast that I don't personally listen to, but sounds interesting, called Literary Disco, where mm-hmm. they have a new book every week that they talk about.
Oh, hell yeah.
And make reading cool again, I guess. not in the connotation that phrase brings up, but
I mean, I'm just waiting for Pizza Hut to bring back the reading program. Just give me that sweet, sweet fucking za for however Goosebumps books I finish.
You know what? I've been meaning to. I have this. I have my microphone rested on my Helen Thomas book right now. I've been meaning to actually read it, but it's so boring, man. And I really like Helen Thomas, but it's really, really boring compared to the last book I read. So
I'm still trying to get into the mindset to reread Getting Things Done again. Right. It's been a while since I read it, and I really need to read it because I feel like it'll help me a lot. And I have like the ghost of Merlin Mann whispering in my ear, and Dan Benjamin, and now Alex Cox all telling me, "Hey, yo, read GTD again." I'm like,
I just know I need to replace the book that I'm reading with something that I actually like, so I start reading again.
With cocaine. I mean, what?
Yeah, no. No, the last thing I said, I think, did I mention it on this? Yes, I was reading David Sedaris like a while ago, and I finished it. I finished it like a month ago. Let's Explore Diabetes with Owls.
Oh yeah, that's the one you're always you post the excerpts from.
Yeah. I never hated anybody until I was 6 or something like that. Stuff like that. Yeah, and it wasn't a lot of people. It was only like 10 people. David Sedaris is funny. I've read 2 of his books. Man, I am really fucking up my words today.
It's okay. Me too.
All right. What else? Saturday is treat day. Today's Sunday.
Oh, yes. Saturday is treat day. Oh. So I finally got my treats from Due by Friday, and I was super happy. Nice. I got my cute, adorable little postcards of Merlin, Alex, and Max, and probably the plan with those, because I like them so much, is I'm going to save the prints. Nice. I'm going to scan them, and then I'm going to probably send those scans over to Fracture to get a... fractures made of those scans, because I like them so much. But and I also got a little keychain that says, "Oh no, my rocks." And I'm very, very pleased with that. That went immediately on my car keys. What else let's see here. I'm about to change shifts at work. I'm working right now from 9 to 6, but I'm gonna start working from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. like a fucking vampire.
Yay! Welcome to vampire sunscreen.
Woo!
I work I'm very from excited. 9 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Yay! Oof! Yake!
Yeah. I was gonna mention that I am wearing my Munch Squad T-shirt, the one with with a cartoon Justin on it and a chef's hat. It says Munch Squad on it, and it looks like 1950s like diner shirt.
Hell yeah, I dig it. I am currently wearing my not podcast related, but I'm pretty sure this is 1987 Levi's Sherpa denim jacket.
Oh yeah.
I got this because you were a Sherpa. I am a Sherpa. Let me guide you to good podcast content.
Right. Weird. The podcast Sherpa.
the Lead podcast to the Sherpa. Oh God, guys, I have so many suggestions for you. But first, let me tell you about our sponsor. It's Squarespace. Squarespace. They make websites only with the finest steel thread to prevent that ball sweat. And I feel like I've made this joke on a previous podcast.
Yeah, and they're just getting free advertising, even though they're not very good ad reads anyway.
I mean, very true. Right. But eventually, if we try hard enough, they might.
Squarespace. They make websites from the blood of your children. Squarespace.
Oh, God. Digga. Lawsuit.
Digga. Not a lawsuit. That was just a funny thing to say. I had a couple things. Brian from Polygon is just really cool, and so I had some cool videos from him. Brian David Gilbert. Yes. He's doing a series on Polygon, a very, very good video game website called Unraveled, which he takes a deep dive down a lot of things that you probably wouldn't want to do yourself in video games. Like, this third episode is him ranking all of the 200-plus Mega Man robots from most to least useful.
Yes.
And it's a 16-minute video on ranking the robots. He also did another one on making sense of the Zelda timeline, which is fucking crazy. It is one of the most banana shit. Oh, he just came out with a new one. I wasted 3 weeks of my life finding Castlevania's hottest monster. Oh my God.
Hell yeah. I feel like he also did the ranking of all of the hats in Red Dead Redemption 2 from worst to best.
Yes. He's so funny. the Castlevania's sexiest enemy thumbnail is him holding up a paper that says Bone Dragon.
I mean, if we got to talk about the hottest, we really have to talk about the OG Dracula.
Yeah.
I mean, what is a man?
What is a man?
A miserable pile of secrets. Have at you.
That's true. Have you seen that meme? It's the Jeopardy where the clue is a miserable pile of secrets, and then Dracula is standing over there.
What is a man?
Very, very good. Other cool stuff. Oh, so one of the things that I wanted to highlight from Brian was that he sent a video essay thing in for his job in 2017. He did not work for Polygon before that, and then he sent this video in, and it's him rapping about how you should be at Polygon, and it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I did watch this one, and I can say it is very funny and very good and very relatable, especially the bit about the countdown to him running out of money.
Right. and like, he's like, oh yeah, I have this degree, but you don't really want to know about that, because the fact is, I just love video games and I love writing, so it's real good. It's real good. What else, man?
Let's see here. I'm on season 2 of Sad Spies right now.
Yep.
And it is so good. Yep. Patriot season 2, 10 out of 10, would recommend. First episode is a little bit iffy, but it really picks up after that, and it just, the comedic timing is great. It's a very good dramedy, because like, 1 second you're just kind of overwhelmed with the innate depression that the character is feeling, and it's very relatable. Right. And then the next minute, something that you absolutely did not see happening happens, and it's just, its comedic timing is great, and I love it a lot, and everyone should watch it.
BoJack feels. Do you watch BoJack?
I do, and it's like a million times better than BoJack.
But BoJack
BoJack is... I like BoJack, but BoJack is... It is all, like, animal puns and, like, kind of, like, cursory depression jokes. And it's, like, Patriot is just... You should watch Patriot. It's...
Well, some of my favorite 11 people are out of 10. Also in BoJack Horseman, so... That's kind of why I like it, too. TFT is in Paul Tompkins is in BoJack.
Oh, shit, dog.
Yeah, Patriot. I still haven't watched Patriot. So, but I need to go do that. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched Ahsan Minhaj's new thing?
Patriot Act? Yes, I have. I watched a couple of episodes. I think I watched the MBS episode and the Supreme episode.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I still don't know how I feel about it yet. It's a little early.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, I like Ahsan Minhaj. He's really, really funny, and you know, I don't have a lot of brown comedian people to look up to. So
yeah, it's pretty much like per my recollection, it's pretty much him and Aziz, right? Those are the two like prominent brown comedians right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then like Aparna Nancherla. Do you know her?
Mm-mm.
She is actually a voice on BoJack.
Oh, okay.
She plays Holly Hawk on BoJack. If you know that character.
Not off the top of my head.
Oh, man.
What animal is she?
She's a horse. I don't want to spoil things for BoJack, so I'm not going to say the...
Is it the one who's trying to contact
you? Yes.
That one? Got you.
Yeah. She used to write on Inside Amy Schumer and Late Night with Seth Meyers. Totally Biased with W. Camille Bell. And she's doing stuff with Tig Notaro's comedy record company. What were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about brown comedians. Now I'm trying to think of any others.
Right?
In America, yeah. Not a lot. Kind of sucks. Have you watched Hassan's Homecoming King?
I have, and I loved
super
it.
Super good. All of the feels. It's super, super good. Prom story and the sister story and super good. I think we're done. What?
Yeah, I think it's time to button up.
What? You know, it's only
is it that time already?
That time already. Oh, by the way, I do need to make some real time corrections here. Comedy Bang Bang was founded in 2009, so not 2003. It does not have 1,000 episodes, like I said, which would be crazy because each of those episodes is like an hour and a half. It has 565 episodes, so I was thinking of its 500th episode is what it rounded the corner on. This Wikipedia entry here had a segment for the Red Hot Chili Peppers parody that they did. Oof. Where John Daly and Zach Galifianakis said that they were a cover band called the Peppermen, who loved huge peppermen for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and came up with something called Abracadabra-lifornia. which I'm going to figure that. I'm going to see what that's all about and report back, because that sounds amazing.
Please do. Please do.
RHCP2014.com, where they said that they were going to perform with Bruno Mars at the halftime show. Amazing. Is there any oh yeah, we need to do plugs.
Oh yeah, it's time for plugs. All right, so where can we find you on the internet, Devin?
You know, you can find me Twitter at Devin Naba. I also have a WordPress site thing that I do sometimes called devinnaba.com.
Hey,
where can I find you on the internet, Dylan?
All right, so you can find me on Twitter at Dylan Bickers. You can also find me on my website, www.dylanbickers.com. And you can also find the podcast very soon at EOW. That is E as in every, O as in other, W as in wives.fireside.fm.
We have wives.
Someday, maybe. Or husbands, I don't judge.
There you go. Other Wednesday, wife.
My wife.
I don't know if you and... keep on... we have to... Sorry, we're not done with plugs.
Yeah, we still got to talk about the music that is produced for our show. It's from Villainous Beats. And you can find him on SoundCloud at, what is it, soundcloud.com/VLNS-beats. And then there's some more stuff. We'll include the full link in the show notes.
And he's coming out with another project in about a month's time.
Didn't he just release 808s and Anxiety Attacks?
He's doing it for the culture.
What a madman.
While we're on that, let's mention Peter Velarde's stuff. You can go and listen to that dude rap about things.
Super good. 10 MC out of 10. Freeman, would recommend to all my friends.
Has a new mixtape. Called Blaze Runner.
It's Blaze Runner 30.
Hosted by. he got new stuff. Big Sig, Tyler Stark has new stuff. All of these people, local Columbus artists. Big Sig has two new albums, Fiji Dreams and The Other Me. I was also listening to the other day. I was also listening to. Cali Dreamer. He was one of the guys that was playing at that party that we were at, Dylan.
Yeah,
pretty good stuff there too. He's on SoundCloud as well. Cali Dreamer,
good shit.
So yeah, that's...
Oh, and just to specify, Peter is he's not on SoundCloud. Well, he probably is on SoundCloud, but he's actually on Bandcamp.
Yes,
and you can find Blaze Runner 3047 there. Presented by Research Anderson, and it's super good. And if you want to learn more about it, listen to the 10th episode special of this very podcast that you're listening to right now. It's a treat.
Really, should we really use the Good Brothers bit now?
Nah, I think it's played.
Or should we just outro it? Man.
Let's just outro it. Let's just button it up.
It's so boring, though.
Oh.
Man. I should have, actually planned, a good outro for this.
We need to come up with a good
bit.
Our current bit is that we steal all our fucking bits.
It's not a great bit. All right. It's time to
button it up.
Close up.
If this boy's rocking, don't come knocking.
So this is us signing off. See you later, Dylan.
See ya. We promise better bits next time.